Welcome to the church that gathers and worships here locally at Bethel. My name is Josh Burnham, lead pastor and one of the pastors here. And today I have the joy of bringing the word of God. And we are in a summer series called The Mind of a Disciple. And we are looking at each of the 12 disciples. So if you're new, this is what we're going to do for you. If you're not new, there's a pop quiz. So if for those who are watching online, for our guest here, for the first time or the second time, church, let's let them know how glad we are that God has brought them to this place today. Okay, that's our welcome to you guys. I would love to meet you after the service. Our pastor stayed out front, or you can use that green Connect card or connect with us online. We would love to pray with you and encourage you this week. So if you are not new, it's about to get deep for you, right? Here's your pop quiz. We're purposing together to know the 12 disciples by the end of the summer. So we're going to go in groups of four because that's the way the Bible categorizes them. And by the way, if you get it wrong, I have a friend here that anytime you say it wrong, he says out loud, no, no. So just know, I have people hidden in the church that will correct you. Okay, first four disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Our next four, these two are always linked together. Philip, Bartholomew, then we have the doubter, Thomas. He's not a doubter, but he was a questioner. And then we have the gospel writer, Matthew. Then you have your final four. You have James, Thaddeus, Simon, not Peter, Simon the Zealot. And then the man who's always last is Judas, the betrayer, Judas Iscariot. Very well done, by the way. So the disciples don't change. So now as we look at this every week, you will know the disciples by heart. That list that we just shared is the list of the synoptic gospels. That's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Synoptic means to see with the same eye. And those three gospels really parallel each other. And in those lists, each of those three lists Philip and Bartholomew together as if, in the mind of the biblical writers, those two would forever be companions. And as we see the end of Bartholomew's life, tradition says that the world tried to kill Philip and Bartholomew together, but Bartholomew escaped that. But John introduces, the Gospel of John, who's not one of the synoptic gospel writers, introduces a different person to us that is attached with Philip, a man by the name of Nathanael. Now, this is important because you will not hear about Nathanael anywhere else in the Gospels or the New Testament. He is only mentioned in the book of John. And in the book of John, Nathanael is mentioned with the call of Andrew and Peter, as if John, in his mind, is trying to share with us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that Nathanael is mentioned. He is one of the 12 disciples. So here's our struggle. If Nathanael is one of the 12, and you've already given me the 12, then 12 plus 1 equals 13, not 12. That's a better answer, whoever said that. Not 12. So I believe Nathanael and Bartholomew are the same people. As Simon and Peter are one in the same, I believe John is calling Nathanael by a different name. So in this sermon, I'm preaching on Bartholomew, but I'm also preaching on Nathanael, because as I preach on Nathanael, I'm preaching on Bartholomew, because most scholars would agree that the man you encounter in John chapter 1 is in fact Bartholomew, who John calls Nathanael. So with that introduction, let's read John chapter 1 together. John chapter 1, I'll be reading beginning in verse 43. If you don't have a Bible, feel free to use the pew Bible in front of you. And if you do not have a Bible at home or with you, take that Bible. That is our gift to you. We will gladly replace Bibles week after week if we are using those to serve for the glory of Christ in your home. So today's message is called Bartholomew, the Man of No Guile. And I'll explain that word later. The guileless Israelite. The guileless If you wonder, is guile a good thing? You don't want guile in your life. The guileless Israelite. John 1, beginning in verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. And he found Philip, and he told him, "Follow me." Now, remember, in the list of the disciples, Philip and Bartholomew are always linked. So if you want to find Bartholomew, find Philip, which is exactly what Jesus does. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and so did the prophets, Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." Bartholomew, Nathanael says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Come and see." Philip answered. Then Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said about him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." And for those of you who have King James translation today, it says, "Here is an Israelite of whom there is no guile." No guile. "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you," Jesus answered. "Rabbi," Nathanael replied, "you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus responded to him, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." Then he said, "Truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." May we be people of no guile today. Let's pray. Father, you are the one who knows our hearts. You know when we come in. You know when we leave. Before a word is uttered upon our lips, you know it when it is in our heart. And Lord, you know that when there was a man sitting under the fig tree, you knew his heart in that moment. Father, thank you for seeing us and knowing us. Create in us today, Lord, a people of clean hands and pure hearts, that we would not lift our soul to another, and that we would be people of genuine faith, that we would be people in whom no deceit is found. Lord, help us be Bartholomew's. Help us be Nathaniel's. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. We know very little about the upbringing of Bartholomew. If not for John chapter 1, speaking about Nathanael, we would know almost nothing about Nathanael or Bartholomew in Scripture. But thankfully, the early church wrote about what they had heard near history about Bartholomew. So Bar is son, so Bartholomai or Bartolomei. If you remember your Old Testament history, David, in 2 Samuel chapter 3, married a young lady named Maacah, and she was the son of a king named Talmai. So Jerome, who wrote the entire Bible, who translated it into Latin, he postulated that maybe Bartholomai was of royal blood. Maybe he was the son of David, as Jesus was the son of Joseph, son of David, which would make sense because Jesus chose tax collectors to follow him. Jesus chose zealots to follow him. Jesus chose fishermen to follow him. So why not a prince? Some would suggest that maybe he's not royal because of this link to David, but there were a ruling class in Egypt many, many years prior to Jesus called the Ptolemies. So history would say, well, maybe he descended from this Egyptian class of royal blood. We don't know, but it would make sense that Jesus choose chose a prince and fishermen and everyone in between. It's the reminder and to you and I, listen, you might have walked in today and you might have a royal name. You might be the name that said, one day I wish I would have that name, that legacy, that bank account, that job. If that's you, you can follow Jesus today. If you're a Ptolemy, you can follow Jesus. And maybe you look at your life and you say, well, I'm the fisherman. I'm uneducated, and who would choose me? You can follow Jesus too. No matter who you are or where you've come from, you are invited to follow Jesus by faith in the Son of Man. Bartholomew might have had a low profile in the Bible, but his first encounter with Jesus is as memorable as any person in Scripture. Now, let me stop there. As I say that, for those of you who have given your life to Jesus Christ already, let's pause. Do you remember the moment where you first encountered Jesus Christ? Not mentally, not cognitively. And yes, we are to engage the Word of God with our whole mind, heart, and soul. But do you remember the first time that God spoke to your heart? So raise your hand if you remember that moment. Okay, you can put your hand down. You will never forget that day, will you? I remember sitting in a small church. I can't tell you what the pastor said. I can't tell you a single song. I can't tell you anything, but I can tell you this. Jesus spoke to me. When he called me and said, Josh, today I want you to follow me, I couldn't help but say, yes, Lord. If you are going to call me, I will respond. You never forget your first encounter with Jesus. And if that's not you today, if you have never heard God call you by name and say, Josh, follow me, turn from your sins, turn from your flesh, find forgiveness, find abundant life, that can be you today. By faith in Jesus Christ, you can encounter the Son of God personally. That is the gospel. So we see Bartholomew, a day he will never forget. Verse 43, the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. He found Philip and told him, follow me. Philip was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew, Peter. Philip found Nathanael, Bartholomew, and told him, we have found the one that what? We have found the one that Moses and all the other prophets and the law spoke about. Nathanael appeals to the word of God. Philip says, don't you forget, remember when we would open the word and we would hide the word in our heart, and it's no coincidence that Reggie shares today that you can give to the Gideons who are sharing the word of God with others, because it is the word of God that changes lives. Nathanael was a student of the Word of God. He knew Moses. He knew the law. So Philip knew that when he went to Nathanael and said, don't you remember what we read about in the Word of God? Nathanael would say, I do remember. Because we know that the Word is a lamp into our feet and a light into our path. We know that the Psalm says this, ask this question, how can a young man keep his way pure? And if you've ever met a young man, how in the world can a young man keep his way pure? And then the Bible says, by walking according to his word. We know that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading the book of Isaiah when a man named Philip was called to sit in that chariot and explain the word of God. And Philip said, hey. He probably said it in Aramaic, but or Greek. But he said, hey, do you understand what you are reading? And the Ethiopian prince, this man who worked in the court, said, no, how can I understand unless someone explains it? And by explaining the word of God, this man from Ethiopia gave his life to Jesus Christ. And as I've already hinted at earlier, one Wednesday night, the praise team was practicing in the kids were running around in church, which is not a good idea, by the way. And as they were running around, my son, for whatever reason, stops. And I think he was kind of in this area. And my wife was singing from the praise team, and she looked out, and he's He has a pew Bible. She's like, what is he about to draw in that thing? And he's reading, and then she sees his mouth moving. Like a movie. He's out there doing this. They're playing tag around him. And after the service, she asked him, she said, what were you doing? Did you rip that Bible? Because you know God was watching you. And his response is something we will still remember to this day. He said, no, I opened the Bible and I gave my life to Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord can change your life. Nathaniel was a man of the word. A pastor once said it this way, a casual relationship with the word of God reflects a casual relationship with the Son of God. Listen, that's why home worship is so important. And if you're a parent here and you say, well, I don't know what to do, just open the Bible and begin to read that in 3-minute increments at the dinner table or at bedtime. Let the word of God transform your family's life. And if you need a place to start in the book of John. That's why we have Bible reading plans outside on that table. Read the word of God. The word of God will change your life because it is the inspired word of God, living and active. May we be like Nathaniel, a man of Scripture. Now, before you say, well, I want to be like Bartholomew, Nathaniel, he's a paragon of virtue. I should be like him. Well, let's pause that thought for a moment. Because when Nathanael first encounters Jesus, he has a very peculiar response to the Son of God. So let's read again together, verse 46. Philip says, Nathanael, we've been waiting our whole lives for this moment. I found the one that Moses spoke about. I found the one the prophets have spoken about. And you're expecting... There's a foreshadow that you would hear Nathanael say, let's go. Wow, I've been waiting my whole life for this. Thank you for sharing the greatest news in my life. But Nathanael says, verse 46, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Even though Nathanael had the word of God hidden in his heart, he also had prejudice living in his heart. And this is a stark reminder that his answer here was completely based on his stereotypes and his bigotry. You see, the Judeans looked down upon the Galileans, and the Galileans looked down on the people from Nazareth. And it's a reminder, no matter where you go in the world, someone's going to look down upon someone. And listen to Nathanael's life. Prejudice is ugly. Prejudice is ugly. It cuts people to the heart. And sadly, it cuts people off from the truth. And before you say, well, Pastor, this is a gathering of the saints. There can't be prejudice in the community of faith. Oh, really? Really? Because my experience is sadly and unfortunately, prejudice often dwells in the midst of the gathering of God. And it might not be vocalized, but it is found in the jokes that we tell, the underhanded comments, the groups that we gather. Take it from Nathanael. Prejudice is ugly, and a heart that tolerates sinful and coarse joking is a heart that harbors racial sins. And if Nathanael was not immune to that living in Galilee, by God's grace, may we not think that we are above or immune to prejudice in our heart. And church, a heart that harbors prejudicial attitudes is a heart that cannot dwell with the kingdom of Christ at the same time. Tony Evans said it this way, racism is not a bad habit, and it's not a mistake. It's a sin. And the answer to racism or prejudice is not sociology, it's theology. It's the answer to your prejudice is not do better, it's know better, it's know Jesus Christ. And when he changes your heart, Nathaniel, he will change your attitudes. By God's grace, he changes our attitudes. And the answer to prejudice is an honest inquiry, and it's the grace of Jesus Christ. So let me just speak to you really quick. If you are here and you have prejudice in your heart, if you think that God smirks at your prejudice, he does not. He either weeps or it infuriates him, because prejudice is sin. And may we rid ourselves of moral filth. Maybe you're here and you say, well, Pastor, I hate prejudice in my life, but my grandparents had it, my parents had it, and I have it. Listen, there is a cure for your sin today, and Jesus can break that generational curse in your life. And your children and your grandchildren can live differently if you stand up and say, God, sin ends today in my family. That is the grace and the mercy of Jesus. Christ answers the peculiar answer this way. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and says, here truly is an Israelite of whom there is no deceit or no guile. Now, guile is an old English word which means slyness or cunningness. Slyness or cunning. Some of you know the word because in the arcade game Street Fighter, there was a character named Major Guile that you would fight with. Remember him? So some of you know that word because of that character. And the reason this is important, because many in Jesus' day were people of guile. They looked the part of a Jewish person. They sounded the part of a Jewish person. But they were people of guile. So Jesus would often say things like this to people who claimed the covenant name of Yahweh. He would say, okay, well, if it's Sabbath and you don't want me to heal people, if your ox fell in the ditch, what would you do? And they would say, well, we would help the ox. And Jesus would say, well, how much more important is a person, a soul, than your animal? He would say things to the people filled of guile. You call yourself a good Jew, but listen, before you get that speck out of your neighbor's eye, before you obsess over that speck, why don't you look in the mirror and make sure you remove the plank first? Now, Jesus is not saying, well, you stay blind and you stay blind and we live happy, blind, ignorant lives. He's saying, no, examine your life, remove what ails you, and then you can help other people see. Because Jesus is the one who makes blind people see. Jesus lived in a society of fake people. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, we don't have fake people in 2023. And yet we have filters on our phones that make us prettier and take the wrinkles away. And we have filter apps that make us look. You can look like an animal, a kitten, an emu. You can look like all sorts of things. We live in a generation that we tell the world, don't see me as I am, see me how I want to portray myself. And Jesus says, but I, Pastor, see your heart. You can put on masks, you can put on filters, but God sees you as you really are. May we be people of genuineness, of no guile. Spurgeon says it this way, of all the things in the world that stink in the nostrils of men, hypocrisy is the worst. Jesus can spot a hypocrite a mile away. Jesus can spot, you know, another good hypocrite source, people who can sniff out hypocrisy. I found teenagers. If you ever want to know what people really think, ask a teenager about your life. They can see the hypocrisy from a mile away. May we loathe that in our lives. But something about Nathanael was different, was it not? Jesus says to him, No guile is found in you. You are genuine. In a day of fakeness and phonies, Nathanael wanted to be anything but. It's a reminder of what Jesus says. Remember on the Sermon on the Mount? He says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. What would Jesus say about you today? God knows your heart. Would he say, Josh, no guile is found in you. You're a person of pure heart. You might say foolish things sometimes. I don't need your comment. That's a true statement. You might have foot and mouth disease. But you're a person of pure motives. You seek me. You long for me. Oh, that we would be people where Jesus says the same about us. May we be pure in heart. Jesus responds to Nathanael's question, and then Nathanael now responds to Jesus' question. Look at what Nathanael says. He says, pretty good question, I would add. How do you know me? So Jesus says, well, when you were sitting down by the fig tree, I saw you. In the ancient Near East, because there was no air conditioning and the days were hot and the nights were hot, people would plant trees near their dwelling place, their abodes. So a tree, often a fig tree, because it has great leafy branches, was a place of coolness. It was a place of shade. It was a place of rest. And they didn't have arcade games where they could play Street Fighter, and they didn't have YouTube TV, and they didn't have other electronic devices where they could scroll through TikTok. So they would go and they would talk and they would read potentially underneath the shade trees. And we know that Nathanael was a man of the book of God. And I wonder if he spent hours underneath this shade tree with Philip discussing the things of the Lord. You see, this tree represented for Nathanael, it was his place of rest. And a lot of us have those places. Places where you go to retire from a busy, noisy world. For some of you, it's a boat. You just need to fish. For some of you, it's a book. For some of you, it's the mountains. For some of you, you have a closet where you can lock the door, put on your earmuffs, close your eyes in a dark place, and just say, Lord, I'm tuning out the world. But there's more to the story for Nathanael. In the Old Testament, the fig tree often represented the people of Israel. Remember, near the end of Christ's life, he curses the barren fig tree. So when Jesus says to Nathanael, I saw you under the fig tree, you are a true Israelite, he's speaking to the Jewish population, but he's also speaking to this singular man. He's saying, you're not a phony, you're not a hypocrite. And when you have hidden yourself away from the world, Nathanael, I see you. And for me, that thought that God sees us in the secret place is terrifying, is it not? Because all of us bring to this gathering, there are things that you said or thought this week that if the world knew, you would tremble. You think, well, Pastor, if you knew what I really thought, if you knew my heart, you would be so disappointed in me. And I say to you, well, if you knew my heart, you might be so disappointed with me. The fact that God knows our heart should terrify us. But when you give your life to Jesus, the fact that Yahweh sees you in the secret places is a thought of joy. Because it is God the Father saying, Josh, when you did that for my glory and no one saw, I saw you. When you were reading the Word of God and you didn't think you were doing any good, I saw you. When you were praying for the lost, when you were praying for your child, when you were praying for your neighbor, and you didn't think I heard, I saw you. When we hear that God knows our heart, for the believer, our heart should well with joy. And it might not be a fig tree for you, but there are places that we go and hide, but we can't really hide from God because God knows us. And by faith, I would say this, church, God knows you. He knows your inner thoughts. And what a great joy that is. I believe that Jesus was saying to Nathanael, Nathaniel, when you were reading the prophets, you were seeking me all along. When you were seeking the Lord in the secret place, you were seeking me. Now, Nathaniel, Philip, Andrew, Simon, follow me. Psalm 91 says that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Listen to Nathaniel. Listen to Bartholomew. Time alone with God is never wasted. It is never wasted. Nathaniel answers, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. For Nathaniel, ministry of Christ can only be affirmed when what he knew to be true was confirmed in the identity of Jesus Christ. And because his heart was pure, his faith was genuine from the start. And from this moment on, we don't hear anything from Nathaniel and Bartholomew. We really know nothing. When you see his name listed, he's always listed with Philip. Church tradition says this, that one country tried to execute Philip and Bartholomew together, and Bartholomew escaped. Church tradition also says this, that he escaped and he went to modern-day Iran. And he continued to share Christ there, and he likely carried the Gospel of Matthew with him. There's lots of different theories about the end of his life. Now, I want you to listen to how the early church suggests that Bartholomew's life ended. Some say that he was crucified. The Coptic tradition says that he was put in a sack full of sand and sunk to the bottom of the sea. The Armenian, Iranian saga has him beaten with clubs. Another tradition, possibly from Persia, has him flayed, meaning they scourged him so bad that his skin ripped off. And finally, a fifth tradition just simply has him beheaded. Every single early church father, though, agrees that Bartholomew died for his faith in some way. And if you were to go to the Sistine Chapel today, you would find there at the very back of the chapel, Michelangelo painted this beautiful scene called the Last or the Final Judgment. And just below Peter, there's a man who is aged and wounded. And in his hands, he's holding his skin. Michelangelo knew the tradition that Bartholomew had his skin ripped off as he gave his life for the sake of Jesus Christ, because he was a man of no hypocrisy. May the same be said of you and I. Nathaniel was faithful to the end because he was faithful from the start. So what would Jesus say about you today? Would he say, you know, when I saw you at your home this morning, you were pure in heart. There's no hypocrisy there. Or would Jesus say, Pastor, you look really good in your church clothes, but I know your heart. I know it's a sham. I know it's a shell. I know inside you're eaten up and you're tormented by sin and shame and past. But don't give up. Because if you would follow Jesus today, you could be a person of forgiveness and holiness and righteousness. You could be a Bartholomew, a person where what you said matched your heart. If you've never given your life to Jesus, I want you to know that because of your sin, you're separated from God. But God did not want you to live an eternity without him, so he sent his only son, Jesus Christ. You might ask, well, what good can come from Nazareth? That question has been asked before, hasn't it? Let me tell you what good can come from Nazareth. His name is Jesus Christ. He was so good that he lived without sin, without blemish. He lived a sinless life and he died on the cross for sinners, for you and for me. That he who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. I believe if Nathaniel could do it over again, he would say, church, let me tell you what good can come from Nazareth. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Savior of the world. He is the one who can make your heart pure. He is the one who can change the hypocrite's heart. He is the one who can turn the prejudice back to faith. Give your life to Jesus Christ. Find forgiveness. Find abundant life. You say, Pastor, how can I do that? You can give your life to Jesus this way, praying a prayer of no guile. To say, God, today I need to turn to you. Forgive me of my sin. I believe Jesus lived a sinless life. I believe your son died on the cross. I believe he rose again. I believe you did that for me. Father, today, forgive me. I will follow you no matter the cost. If that's you, we want to encourage you on your faith. We want you to get baptized and show the world that Jesus is yours and that you are his. And as I reflect on Nathaniel, Bartholomew, I think of these words. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. It is no longer mine. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus, I would be wholly thine. Speak to my heart. Oh, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Yielded and still, seeking thy will. Speak to my heart today. Jesus spoke to Bartholomew's heart. And today I believe he still does that to us. May we be found pure and holy in his sight for his glory and for our good. Father,